Let's start off by talking to God. Our God, Lord, the Creator and Sustainer, Keeper of us, thank you for being strong. Thank you for being our strength, for going ahead of us, forging the path. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your goodness, your patience and kindness. Thank you for sustaining us with your Spirit that goes beyond our imaginations. Please continue to give us strength. When we are strong, help us to remember you are the source of all strength, and when we are weak, be our strength even more. We put these thanksgivings and requests in your hands in the name of Jesus. You ever had a sleepless night? Have you ever had a sleepless night? Sometimes it's because of excitement for the next day. You cannot wait for whatever it might be, a vacation, a birthday party, college kids coming home for Thanksgiving. Christmas morning. You know the line. The whole kid year revolves around. Christmas morning. You can hear things going on downstairs. You know, and morning just can't get here soon enough. And then when it finally does, you can see that little bit of sunlight peeking through the window, no matter how much your parents try to black out the window and drapes and extra blankets thrown up. You can see that light coming through. You know it's Christmas morning. You run downstairs and, oh, everything is so great. The sounds, the smells. And you just can't sleep because you're so excited. You ever had a sleepless night? Sometimes it's because of pain. You know, that pinch in the small of your back that just won't go away, and every time you roll over, you feel it, and it wakes you up. You know, and then you try to finally go back to sleep, and roll over just a little, and that pinch hits you. You ever had a crick in your neck and tried to sleep and roll over? Man, you ever had a sleepless night? Sometimes it's because of love. You know, you're 18 and you just found out that she really likes you. And you've had your hopes and your suspicions, but her roommate sees you walking across campus and she comes over to you and she says, "Look, are we going to have to hit you over the head? Ask her out. Get a clue. Ask her out." And then, oh, so you finally do. And she says yes, and you try to go to sleep, but you're so excited because it's Thursday night, and you know tomorrow night y'all are going to get to go out on your first date, and you already know you want to marry her. You know, that feeling, that kind of sleepless night. And sometimes the sleepless night is because of grief. And this is where Scripture, the living Word of God, reminds us that we are not alone. Because there is probably no lonelier feeling than the sleepless night. And then echoes of Scripture come down throughout all of history so that the Word of God is not something back then, but it speaks right now. And it reminds us, you're not alone. From excitement to pain, from love to grief. Days when we are strong, we remember that we are stronger together. You ever felt strong And then you're surrounded by people you love and who love you, and you feel like you can take on the world. And then days when we are weak, we know that we don't have to be weak alone. And from Scripture, the living Word of God, from Scripture, one early Christian tells his own story. And it's a personal story, but in many ways it's a story for all time. It's one of those times where an I story becomes a we story. You know what I mean by that? You know how sometimes one person tells his story or her story and it resonates. And it doesn't resonate just a little bit, it resonates broadly. And this is one of those times in Scripture where just one man, and yeah, I mean, he had his Damascus Road experience, talked to Jesus, called by God, prophet, preacher, all that stuff, but he's still just a man. Just one person tells his story, and it becomes a story for all time, a story that leans on Jesus, just like we do today. And even after this little excerpt of the story, there's more. So, you can tell I'm about to read you something of vital importance when I pull out the college Bible, the Bible I carried around in my backpack, so much so that I wore it out twice. And yes, this is actual duct tape that this Bible is held together with. And I know it's not pretty. I know it's not Sunday morning appropriate. But it is a 1947 Revised Standard Version of the Bible. And so whenever I want to really say, okay, take this one serious, pull this one out. So pardon that it's ugly, but this is a big one. So I told you in the worship preview, 2 Corinthians 11 and 12. Here's one little piece of 11. And then in a minute, a smaller piece of 12. And the whole world and all of life hinges on these moments. Five times, I have received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Do the math. That's a lot of whipping. Three times I have been beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with rocks. Three times I've been shipwrecked. One time I spent an entire night and a day adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night. In hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there's a daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is made to fall? And I'm not beside myself. Can we get this guy a vacation? I think it's bad when getting tailgated on Westheimer and someone's honking at me. This guy had to spend the night floating around in the water, not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring. Did you hear that line about him getting pelted with rocks? I got hit in the head one time with a dirt clod on the playground in fourth grade, and I can still feel it. Pelted with rocks to the point of almost dying. It's just had a tough life. But then there's these moments when he's talking. And I don't know, maybe it's just I identify with it. I think you probably identify with it as well. Where he talks about through many a sleepless night. And the working title of this sermon before it changed to Weak and Strong, and you'll see why it got changed, but the working title of this sermon was The Sleepless Night as an Act of Faith. Because during those sleepless nights, when there's no one around, and I mean, it can be excitement or pain, love or grief. That's kind of one of those times when a lot of us start talking to God. Especially on the pain and grief stuff, we start talking to God. Physical pain, in many ways, reminds us. Like, it won't be ignored. It reminds us like an unwelcome guest. You're not going to ignore me. You can try. Good luck. It's not going to happen. And so then, we hear these echoes of Scripture that come down to us and speak as a living word, where God says, during those moments when you're weak, when you're in pain, whatever it may be, I am strong. I am your strength. And all this stuff in life we have to deal with, and yet 2 Corinthians starts by calling God the God of all comfort and the Father of compassion. You know why 2 Corinthians starts? 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. You know why it starts by calling God the God of all comfort? The God of compassion? You know why it starts that way? It's because we need comfort. And we need the compassion of God. It starts by saying, here's the God that I'm about to tell you. Here's the story, and here's where you fit in. I don't know, maybe you're hearing a lot of stories about God in your lifetime. Some of them probably good and holy. Sometimes the name of God, name of Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit, is used to denigrate, shame, people down, that sort of thing. That's not the way 2 Corinthians starts. It doesn't start by saying the God of all shame and the God that is going to make you feel bad. Sorry, it's just not the way 2 Corinthians starts. It starts by saying, God of comfort, Father of all compassion. I think that piggybacks on 1 Corinthians. This is one of those times where the sequel is better than the original. 2 Corinthians is the Empire Strikes Back of Scripture. It's better than the first one. But it's because 1 Corinthians is dealing with all these issues. And it has these beautiful lines like love builds up. Love that. Man, you take all of their stuff that they're dealing with and then come to 2 Corinthians. Starts by saying, let me tell you about the Father of comfort, God of all compassion. And it's not that it's a free ride. Then comes, let me tell you about this shipwreck. Let me tell you about this time where people threw a bunch of rocks at me. Did I ever tell you about getting 200 lashes, and they did me the wonderful service of minusing one just to be on the safe side and keep things legal. You know what the difference is between 195 lashes and 200 lashes? Nothing. But there's more. Because in our weaknesses, we are reminded that there is a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to remember that even in our weakness, strength will rise when we wait upon the Lord. So here's 2 Corinthians 12:10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In context, this is when Paul's talking about this thorn in the flesh business. You ever heard that? I mean, it's worked its way into popular language now. Oh, that's my thorn in the flesh. You know where that's from? 2 Corinthians. Because he's talking about this thing, whatever it might be, that he keeps telling God, you know, God, I'm working really hard out here, and, you know, God, 195 lashes, that was all for Jesus. I got pelted with rocks. People beat me with sticks. God, you remember that time I got shipwrecked? It was all for you, Jesus. And it's almost like he's bargaining with God. You ever done that? That sound familiar? God, I've done all of these things, and I've done them for you. I've done them for your glory. But God, while we're on the subject, I've got this thorn in my flesh, and I don't think it was a real thorn. But the beauty of it is, I don't know what it is. Nobody does. Theologians through the centuries like to speculate on what Paul's thorn in the flesh is. You know why they call it speculating? We don't know. We don't know what his thorn in the flesh is. And I think, because, you know, in my spare time, like whenever I'm wanting to do something fun, I like literary theory. I think it's a literary theory move. I think that it is a move where he leaves it open-ended and ambiguous, which means we don't know what it is, on purpose, as a way of saying, when you read 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, and he comes and he starts talking about this thorn in the flesh, it's just digging at him. He didn't name what it is so that when you're reading 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, you say, oh yeah, man, I've got a thorn in the flesh too. And I've bargained with God about it. And I've told God, you know, I'm working really hard for you. Could you just do me a solid, God, and take it away? Just, that's all I'm asking. And I don't know why God says no. See, I have a hunch that each one of us might look inward and say we have the struggle. And the struggle is real. You know what I mean? You have the struggle. Maybe it's different for you. But the most important part of 2 Corinthians, the whole book that takes the weaknesses of 1 Corinthians and challenges the church, still be a church. Still be a body of Christ together with all these people. A church that practices the marks of following Jesus. The whole book culminates in a reminder that to practice a life of following Jesus is not about my might or my power, but leaning on Jesus. And that just takes a weight off a lot of our shoulders. You see, this is one of the core Corinth statements. There's all kinds of really core statements throughout 1st and 2nd Corinthians. This is one of the core statements. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know what weakness sometimes requires? I'm talking just outright literal weakness. Sometimes it requires, can you come help me with this? That's it. It's nothing profound. It's just when you have like physical weakness. Hey, can you come help me with this? You know, this grocery sack is too heavy. Can you help me with this? I can't get this jar open. You know, and I did all the things that the YouTube video said. I hit it on the counter a number of times. I ran it under hot water. I still can't get it open. Can you help me with this? Sure. I can help with that. That's weakness. It sounds strange to say that weakness is a source of strong faith. But it helps then to say that we do so because it's a reminder. Oh yeah, God, will you help me with this? And the thing about the context of 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul prayed three times, you remove this thorn in my flesh, and he has to keep asking. Here's a theological hunch. There was a fourth time. And there was a fifth time. And there was probably a 77th time when this guy we know named Paul prayed to God. Every time that he prayed to God, in times of weakness, in times of frustration, and in times of faith, every one of those was an act of faith because it said, God, I need your help. I cannot do this on my own. And that, just that little image that repeats over and over again where this one man is saying, God, I need your help with this. I cannot do this on my own. Will you be here for me? That act of faith is the perfect example of what life in the church looks like for us as the people of God. Because, again, this is Sunday morning, and most of us are, wearing clothes that you might not wear during the week, most of us probably decided, last night or this morning, I'm going to wash my hair. I'm going to look real nice. Get together. My Sunday morning people. But the beauty of this passage in 2 Corinthians 12:10 is that Paul offers his own confession of anxiety about the churches. Did you hear it? In 2 Corinthians 11 and 12. He's talking about getting beaten with rods, rocks thrown at him, 195 lashes, being shipwrecked, going hungry, and my anxiety about all the churches. He lists that in the same vein as almost drowning. He just says this is on par with that. But he still trusts that God will somehow bring it all together, which God is still doing. When things are great, or when we are sad, or anything for that matter, the Lord is at work, Jesus is Lord, and we get to be a part of that. And then, to the very best part, the I of 2 Corinthians 12 may be read as we. For every gathering of the body of Christ. This is the power of the life of Jesus that's so much bigger than any one of us. Inwardly, we, as the body of Christ, are being renewed day by day. Thanks be to God. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen.